From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of the pre-recorded 100th episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with K.P. Yohannan, author of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and K.P. Yohannan in their conversation.
What is a holy church? The audience is not the preacher. For 1500 years, there was no pulpit for the man to be brilliant and the music group and the band and all that. It is not entertainment. God is the audience. And the altar was the center where people gathered to partake of the invisible Christ who now represented or in the Eucharist. These things are now false teaching for the modern church. And I think if anyone care about eternity, and I have the statement I make all the time, please live in the light of eternity. Fear God. Because no one is going to support you, and you don't care about the millions you make now or the aeroplanes. No, it is too serious. And Jesus is coming back for his bride. And I do not know where this theology came from, but I have sadness about it that you just say a word of prayer and live a moral life and you are now going to heaven. And this is quite serious. And this is the reason why the churches need to understand what church is so that we can represent God in the right way to the humanity that we are speaking to.
You started a church movement, and it really is centered in the whole concept of mission. I'll quote this from your book. I just looked it up on page 128. You say, "We went out to do the Great Commission as was done by the apostles, and hundreds of local churches were born as a result of it." And then you say, "A true biblical mission never remains a mission. It will always transform itself into a church, and those churches will then send out more and more missionaries." So here you start the church, because you see that the people have to go into the church, they have to partake of the Eucharist. When they partake of the Eucharist, they receive a grace that empowers them. They then go out into the world and they become reproducing disciple makers, and multiplication happens. In fact, you just wrote a new book, and that new book is about our Orthodox moment, that what happened in the book of Acts, and that same thing happening now in India and in Myanmar and in Bangladesh and in other countries in this 1040 window, that same thing can happen all over the world, and we can reach those who have not heard, but not just reach them, incorporate them into the body of Christ so that they can partake of the reincarnation of Eden, the place in which we can have access to the tree of life replete with its Eucharistic bounty. So you're concerned that those people not just experience eternity, but experience the abundant life now, the abundant life that allows them to go out and become reproducing disciple makers.
Well, you know, Hank, think about it. If local churches were not the goal, the ultimate objective of the Lord Jesus Christ when he sent out his disciples, or for Jesus being sent to earth, then there will not be Book of Romans, nor any of the New Testament books, nor the Book of Revelation. Because when Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel," in Acts chapter 2, we see they did it. Church was born. Then you see in Antioch, the church having their worship, and the Holy Spirit speaks, saying that send out these two men as missionaries to preach the gospel. And St. Paul and his co-worker goes and preach the gospel. This is exactly what we see happen. As a matter of fact, You know, 1 year we had several thousands of young people who wanted to be in our seminaries, but we didn't have the space to take them. Where do they come from? They come from the churches that we planted and parents praying that one of their children will go and serve God, which is one of our teaching in all our churches. Every believer, every Christian ought to be going and sending. And the sending part, you can send one of your children or anyone in the community who want to go and serve God. And if that be the case, you can imagine here in an authentic church, they'll be going to McDonald's or whatever place they go, and they always be talking about the most important thing in life, the living Lord Jesus Christ. Invite them to come to church and experience the life of God. So, you know, in the book I write about it, especially the new book, that is, it is extremely important we understand that the Great Commission is for specific purpose to see people come to Christ and they are introduced to understand the life of God and the Eucharist and teaching and all that. And from that church, they then begin to reach out the others in the community and in the near culture and cross-culturally. And like our churches in Myanmar, they sent half a dozen work missionaries from there to neighboring countries. And one country where I cannot mention the name, but in that country, they have won several thousand people to the Lord. And these men from Myanmar went there with the instruction from our Archbishop, you are being sent with a one-way ticket. You are not coming back to the country again. You go there, live there, die there for the people, to those people the church is sending you. And this is not imagination. This is a real reality I'm talking about. And this is what church should be doing all over the world. Because this is how us, you know, you talked about, we talked about it. If all the churches would do this, we can see the whole world come to Christ in our lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote about that in the foreword to your book, which is, I don't know if it's out yet or when it's coming out, but the book, Our Orthodox Moment, which is something I want to talk to you about in a future podcast, because that's a very significant book as well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, right now it is in the final proofreading process. It should go to press within a couple of weeks, I think.
Going back to Never Give Up, there's an epigraph by A.W. Tozer that says, in many churches, Christianity has been watered down until the solution is so weak that if it were poison, it wouldn't hurt anyone. And if it were medicine, it would not cure anyone. And I want you to talk about that by way of an illustration in your book, Never Give Up, in which you talk about purchasing a hospital in South Asia, and then you discover that 50% of the medicines were not authentic. And this, for you, is an analogy for the church that gives weekly doses of positive thinking, or TED Talks, as you put it earlier, but isn't allowing people to experience the graces that can transform them in the present.
Yeah, Hank, you know, this is a strange statement for me to make, but for me, I think having no fear of God and being so self-centered is immorality. And, you know, in the churches at large, people define immorality in a different ways. But it's a very serious thing. And, of course, that illustration is a real thing. One of our dioceses decided to purchase a hospital. Somebody was selling it so they can reach the community and help the poor and needy and helpless. And, of course, you know, after they bought the hospital, they had, you know, some specialists to come in and inspect the entire hospital and the department where they give out the medicines and everything. And they found out that 50% of the medicines were fake. They were not real. And the people who owned it earlier, they were making tons of money because of that. And, of course, you know, they destroyed all that fake medicines and changed everything. And here's the thing. This is only an example I'm telling you. Now, when I was a clergy here in Dallas during and after my seminary for 4.5 years, every Wednesday I had set apart 3 hours for people of my congregation to come for counseling. I had 200 some families in the congregation. It was a small church. And they would come to me with appointment and with all kind of problems and everything else. And of course, I'd tell them whatever I knew and all that. But our churches are filled with Christian counselors, yet think about it, half of the congregations are divorced, broken homes. What happened to us? The early church, confession was a sacrament. In psychology, it tells us, and everybody knows this, that you can figure out everything about your life and mistakes and blunders and sins and everything, but there's one thing there's no cure for. That is guilt.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with K.P. Yohannan. The founder of Gospel for Asia, K.P. Yohannan has spent his life leading a growing gospel movement in more than a dozen Asian nations. His classic book, Revolution and World Missions, impacted millions of people, showing how one man can change a generation. Never Give Up is a continuation of K.P. Yohannan's journey. The story of a tragically broken man who drew closer to Christ and experienced what it really means to never give up. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and K.P. Yohannan as they continue their conversation.
Psychology tells us, and everybody knows this, that you can figure out everything about your life and mistakes and blunders and sins and everything, but there's one thing there's no cure for, that is guilt. Only God can erase the guilt. How does that happen? Through God's forgiveness. And how did that happen in the church for 1,000 years? It was the sheep, the people in the church could come to the priest, the clergy, and with absolute confidence, even if he got killed, he will never reveal those things he hear. And just like Nathan would talk to David after they confess and talk to the Lord and the priest hear it, and on the behalf of the Lord, he's able to say, your sins are forgiven, your guilt is removed, live in peace and live for the Lord. Things like that. You know, we changed everything in the church such a way that God is no more in the picture. C.S. Lewis said it, God now is in the dock. We are the ones who decide what is the answer to human problems and crisis and all that. And we are falling apart. There is no answer. I mean, why on earth do you want to say America is a post-Christian nation, yet we boast about it and we fight about doctrines, yet we do not have the life of God. And the blame is the church, the pulpit. And this is the reason why, you know, I'm always concerned about the body of Christ all over the world, and what I write, what I say, has everything to do with the same thing you are doing. And I'm saying, you know, somebody said, what is holiness? It is honesty. To God, say, God, I just want you to know, this is what I am. I don't know you. Help me. And I think if our people become honest about the heart condition, I think God will have great mercy on us and lead us to truth. And, you know, Judas denied Christ, so did Apostle Peter. Even God could not save Judas. Peter's faith was weak and he was honest. And he said, Lord, I don't know what to tell you. You know me. But Judas, his faith was deceptive. They are not honest, but pretending. And that is a damning thing for Christianity. And the call of God is to come to understand him. And the way we understand it, for my life at least, maybe it's different for somebody else. It was, like I said, reading the church fathers and the saints of old, the desert fathers, desert mothers, and the days and weeks of being quiet and silent before him, just to know God and understand him. These are not complicated matters. These are simple things, but we just are so independent from God that we have to fight for doctrines, and not for God, but for our own image and salary and position and reputation.
Yeah, that is well said. And you bring this up in the context of strange fire, of course, written about in Leviticus chapter 10, where the fire goes out from the Lord and devours them. The story is about those who bring not authentic fire, but strange fire. And when you think of strange fire in this context, in the context in which you're using it in the book, you're looking very clearly and closely at the fruit of the heretic, who is not bringing the authentic fire of the Lord, but a strange fire. And in the Old Testament, there was a penalty for that. That was a very severe penalty. And I think if that penalty was still in vogue today, we would see people dying in pulpits all around the world. But I want to move away from that for just a few moments here, because I think it's important to talk about your passion for the poor and the downtrodden. If it weren't for the coronavirus, you and I would be in India right now, and some of the countries in the 1040 window, including Myanmar and Bangladesh and so forth. But we're going to be doing that again in the near future. If I were in India with you, I would see some of the things that you are doing as the means to reach people. You give them a loaf of bread, you give them a warm blanket, and then you earn the right to tell them about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you have established the Order of Sisters of Compassion, a Bridge of Hope Centers. The Bridge of Hope Centers, for example, care for tens of thousands of children who otherwise would grow up to become beggars. The Order of Sisters of Compassion. This is an order that provides aid among the slums, among those that are in leprosy colonies. All of these are significant works. There are almost 300,000 women receiving free healthcare training, 62,000 learning to read and write through the Gospel for Asia literacy classes, over 1,000 medical camps. I think 1,000 with all those other numbers doesn't sound too big, but these are conducted in needy communities to help care for tens of thousands of people. You're drilling thousands of wells. You call them Jesus wells. The warm blankets that I talked about before, the 70,000 children being helped through the Bridge of Hope program, all of these programs, they are going on in the present. And through these programs, you are reaching people. If I recall, you say in your book, there was a time in which you didn't think that social work was mission work, but you've repented of that because you realize that social work can be used as the bridge into mission work. You can probably explain this a lot better than I can.
Well, you know, Hank, this is true. There was the beginning of GFA. By the way, Gospel for Asia World, as we are known now, is actually a part of the Order of the Believers Eastern Church. Just as in the Book of Acts, you know, you do mission work, then the church becomes the leader. So that's where we are. But this was my hardcore, you know, old Orthodox, Protestant days, when I thought the whole world is going to hell. The only answer is prayer, the sinner's prayer, and receive Christ. And I was totally opposed to any social work, and I wrote against it and became a champion of that. But I remember one time I was in Mumbai, a city with 17 million people. I was waiting to catch my Lufthansa flight to Frankfurt, and I picked up this newspaper, and right on the front of the newspaper was a huge black and white photograph of a little boy semi-naked laying on the street corner, and beside him lays a large female dog, and the little boy is nursing on the dog, drinking the milk from the dog. And the caption under the picture went like this: "This dog is his mother." And the three-column article explained about 100,000 children that live on the streets of Calcutta and Mumbai or more, not knowing where their parents are, who their parents are. They live and die there and things like that. And it stopped me instantly and said, what if that happened to be me laying there on the street? What do I want? And several incidents took place like that where, you know, God is so amazing, Hank, so gracious and merciful and loving. He never condemned me and beat me up. He gently spoke to my heart continually, saying that, you know, you need to understand, all people are my creation. All people are mine. I love them. And you are supposed to be living Jesus now to them, giving them food and clothes and care for them and express my love for them. And I was scared to death because by now I was known very, very much for radical edge of just preaching the gospel and attack all the groups who are doing social work and all that. And I was afraid my own staff in the United States and Europe will turn against me. But in the end, I said, I need to go public and repent. And so I repented and said, God, forgive me for my blindness. And we began to help the poor and needy. And the things you said is literally true and much more. We have these Sisters of Compassion that our 500 sisters trained just like Mother Teresa's sisters. They are the ones who actually trained our people. We have 500 plus sisters like that working in 42 leper colonies, you know, caring for them and loving them, and working among the 42 million widows, women who are completely lost and hopeless. And these 70,000 children hang, that's nothing when you think about 62 million children that are living on the streets in these nations. And our dream is to help at least 500,000 children. And this year, 2,000 plus children graduated from their high school, from our homes, and they found a new life, and not only for this life, but the life to come.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with K.P. Yohannan. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you K.P. Yohannan's book, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.